We're turning back to Jeremiah chapter 22. And maybe you have already picked out the text that we're going to base our words around. I remember certainly sitting in Clare Valley thinking about that when a preacher read a portion. What's this text going to be? Trying to pick it out. So maybe you do the same. I know some of you do, because some of the times you've said that to me. It's verse 29 is the verse we want to think about. Jeremiah 22, verse 29, it says, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And it's those words out of that, hear the word, that are on one of the windows here along my right-hand side. And we want to think about this exhortation this evening. Let's bow together in prayer, and we'll ask the Lord as we come to his word for his help. Our Father, we do look to thee for thy blessing as we come to the word of God. These things are written for our admonition. And as we have read a portion out of this chapter, as we come to think about the circumstances here, and particularly this exhortation, we do pray, O Lord, that thou will grant thy blessing to us now as we contemplate the word of God. May there be a word in season for us. And may we consider this portion with profit. And may there be that hearing ear granted unto us all, a hearing ear and an understanding heart. O Lord, grant that to us, we pray. Give help, I ask, in the preaching. Lord, I need that added help to preach. Give me words from thyself, even tonight, that would be owned of the Lord and blessed to all of our hearts. For we pray this night in Jesus' name. Amen. We are continuing to consider some statements that have to do with the inspired word. And we were previously considering those that have to do with the incarnate word. And there is that connection between the word of God, and certainly that is to be prominent in all of our worship and in what takes place in this house. There needs to be that presentation of the word. So it's interesting that on either side there's the emphasis on the incarnate word along the windows on my left, and then there's the emphasis upon the inspired word. On these statements that are found on the windows along my right-hand side. And we'll bring the two of them together, and that'll bring us to think about the statement that's above me on the wall, redemption through his blood, because that really does marry into that great truth about redemption in the person of Christ and declared in the word of Christ. And that's really the message that comes out of both considering the incarnate Christ and the inspired word. We'll come to think about redemption through the blood. And then there's one final one above me on the window that tells us that we're to sow the seed. And that reminds us that the church is always to evangelize. There's always that need to be seeking souls. We're not to be parochial and just think about ourselves, but we're to think about the world that we're found in the midst of. A perishing world. A world that needs to hear the gospel. And there is that statement that's up in the window there above me about sowing the seed, and we'll finish off, God willing, thinking about that. But I want to come tonight to think about this exhortation to hear the word. And you'll find it here a number of places in this particular chapter. That's why we read the beginning, because there, for example, in verse 2, you'll find those words, the message that Jeremiah was given. He was told to go down to the king, the house of the king of Judah, and he was there to speak the word that the Lord gave him. And the Lord told him there in verse 2, here's what you are to say. And the very opening remarks are these: hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah. Hear the word. And it's that exhortation, hear the word, that I want you to consider this evening. And we're coming here because the exhortation to hear the word, and I say the exhortation, appears only in the Old Testament. Now, there's times if you put in the words, hear the word, into a search engine for the Bible, you'll find it in the New Testament as well. But it's not as an exhortation in the New Testament. And that's what we're thinking about here. It's an exhortation the same way as preach the word was an exhortation given to Timothy there in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 1. So we're looking in the Bible for places where it is as an exhortation, where there's this exhorting of an individual, hear the word, because that's the significance of the term along the windows and those others as well. They're exhortations to do something. So that's what we're looking for. And when you look at the Word of God for this exhortation, hear the Word, you'll discover that most of these exhortations to hear the Word of God come within the writings of the prophets, particularly the writings of Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. 26 times this exhortation appears in the Bible. 23 of those 26 times you will find them in either Isaiah, Jeremiah, or Ezekiel. So it's something that is really connected with the prophets. They're men with a message from God, as is illustrated here at the very beginning of this chapter. The Lord gave Jeremiah a message, told him to go down to the house of the king of Judah and there deliver the message. And the message was, hear the word. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, maybe just in passing, I don't know whether you've ever noticed this, maybe you have, but direct speech in our authorized version doesn't have quotation marks. As you're well aware, in reading through your authorized version, you don't find quotation marks. But direct speech begins with a capital letter in the authorized version. And it's worth noticing that. For example, in verse 2, if you look at there at the beginning of this chapter, you'll find the capital letter that says, and say, hear the word of the Lord. And the word here is in starts with a capital letter. For direct speech, that's how it's introduced in our authorized version, rather than with quotation marks. And that's what you need to then look for in a number of places where this exhortation appears. Sometimes it appears not at the beginning of a direct quotation, maybe a little further along. For example, in our text, verse 29, I know each verse begins with a capital letter as well, but there's this exhortation, O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. So you can look out for those direct speech appearances of whatever words you're thinking about, but in our authorized version, they're introduced by a capital letter rather than by quotation marks. But we want to think about this statement, and it's a very interesting one there in verse 29. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Very appropriate that the whole earth is called to hear the word of the Lord. And there's good reason why this ought to be so. Now, the words in verse 29 have to do with this man, Kenaniah. But we're going to take in some of these other references as well that they appear in the writings of Jeremiah and some of the other prophets as well. The first thing I want you to consider here is that this is a necessary exhortation because the natural ear is closed to the word of God. You see, we've thought there about Jeremiah at the beginning of the chapter having a message from God. Go down to the king's house and declare this word. Hear the word of the Lord. And then we come down to the end of the chapter and there's this statement as well. O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. So whether it's an individual that is there in view at the beginning of the chapter or the whole earth, the whole world is here exhorted at the end of the chapter to hear the word of the Lord. It's necessary because the natural ear is closed to the word of God. Now this chapter, Jeremiah 22, is actually making reference to three different kings, three successive kings of Judah. Those opening 12 verses that we read have to do with the man Shallum. You'll see his name there in verse 11. For thus saith the Lord, touching Shallum, the son of Josiah. He was also known as Jehoahaz. And we are told that there is a message that was delivered to this king. We're told that he was going to be taken captive and he will not return any more into this land, but that he will die in the place where he has been led captive. If you look there at those words there, verse 11 and 12 of the chapter. So that's speaking about that man Shallum or Jehoahaz. He was one of the kings of Judah. He's the son of Josiah, and he actually reigned after Josiah. But then verses 13 to 19 have to do with Jehoiakim. And for example, look at verse 19. It says, he shall be buried with the burial of an ass, drawn and cast forth beyond the gates of Jerusalem. So there's something different being said about an individual here than was said about the individual spoken of at verse 12. Because there's another king here. There's a second king that is in view. He's not named. He is named in verse 18. Therefore, thus saith the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah. So there is this man, Jehoiakim, that is named, and what the Lord has to say about him. And then the end of the chapter has to, verses 20, really down to the end of the chapter, has to do with this man, Kaniah, whose name is given to us there in verse 24. He's described as the son of Jehoiakim. So there's mention made of him. He was called some other names. He was called Jehoiachin and Jeconiah as well, and this name Kaniah that is found in the writings of Jeremiah. And there's mention made there of what's going to happen to him. Verse 26 and 27, I will cast thee out and thy mother that bare thee into another country where ye were not born, and there ye shall die. But to the land whereunto ye desire to return, thither shall ye not return. So there's three kings that are mentioned here. And the point that I'm drawing to your attention here is that all of these three kings are marked by the one characteristic, and it is this: they have obstinately refused to hear the word of the Lord. All three of them. So whether it's that man Shalom at the start of the chapter, whether it's Jehoiakim in the middle of the chapter, whether it's this man Kaniah at the end of the chapter, they're all brought together in this particular chapter because they all come in underneath this one characteristic, that they have refused steadfastly and stout-heartedly. They have refused to hear the word of the Lord. And that's why the Lord gives Jeremiah the message, as he does there at the beginning of the chapter. Go down to the king's house and declare this message. Tell him to hear the word of the Lord. Because he, and as long with these other kings as well, they have stout-heartedly resisted the word of the Lord, and they will not hear. You'll see that brought out in verse 5 as well. We'll come to think about these what it says a little bit more. But the opening line of verse 5, it says, but if ye will not hear these words, then the Lord tells us what he's going to do. Because this is the difficulty, this is the problem. Their heart is closed to the word of God. Their ear is closed to the word of God. That's why there has to be then this exhortation that goes out. And the Lord is challenging them, hear the word of the Lord. Open your ear and hear. And it reminds us of the fact that the human heart does indeed close the ear to the word of God. There's not a hearing for the word of God. There's not a willingness to hear. The natural heart resents the message and does not want to hear at all. And there has to be then this exhortation. And then we can understand why, you see, it's widened here in verse 29 to the whole earth. I would imagine that that statement, it can also be translated, O land, land, land. The original word here sometimes is translated in a form that just applies to the land of Israel. But whether it's applying to the land of Israel or whether it's applying to the whole world tonight, let's take it as it is there in our English Bible, to the whole earth. The same exhortation has to be declared, whether it's the whole land of Israel. Because it wasn't only a problem, you see, with the kings of Israel or the kings of Judah. It was a problem with the whole land. The whole land had closed their ear to the word of God and didn't want to hear. Or whether we want to widen it out across the whole world, the whole earth, the same problem exists tonight. Across the face of the earth, the natural heart of man does not want to hear the word of God. The heart is closed up. The barricades are up. The doors are closed. The bolts are drawn across. There's no willingness to hear. So therefore the message has to be declared. Oh, hear the word of the Lord. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And tonight that same message needs to go forth. Challenging men and women, you've got to hear the word of God. And that's evident. You know that yourself in witnessing to people, speaking to people. Even yesterday when the open air was taking place down there at the gates of the city hall, there was even people coming by, right, walking up right past the microphone and giving off in the foulest way because of the message that was being preached, because the natural heart doesn't like to hear the word of God. The second thing I want you to consider is that it is that this exhortation is necessary because the ear needs to be tuned to listen to the word of God. The ear needs to be tuned to listen to the word of God. You see, the ear, the natural ear of man is inclined to hear everything but the word of God. Oh, he'll have an ear to listen to all that goes on in the world, all the wickedness of the world and the jesting of the world and the conversation of the world, the filthy conversation of the world. The natural ear will be inclined to that. It'll be happy enough to listen to that, but doesn't want to listen to God's word. And therefore the natural ear has to be tuned to listen to the word of God. And part of the way whereby the Lord tunes the natural ear to hear his word is by uttering this exhortation again and again and again. And that's what I want to draw to your attention this evening, some of the places and the individuals particularly to whom this message was directed. Tune your ear to hear the word of God. Listen to the word of God. And what I'm going to do, I mentioned that this exhortation is found in Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. Well, I'm going to take you through a few. I'm not going to take you through them all, but we'll do it in sequence, so rather than going back and forward. So if you go back to Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 10, and I want you to hear, or I want you to notice in these places who it is that this is directed towards. And you'll notice there's a whole host of different individuals and groups that this statement is made. And it's made with this purpose: tune your ear to hear what God has to say. It's time to close your ear to all the other things that you're listening to in the world. It's time to listen to what God has to say. So Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 10. Here's the nation of Israel generally, although they're described as Sodom, such as the wickedness that was in that city of Israel. But it says there in Isaiah 1 and 10, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." So we're not going to think so much about what goes on in the message, but just the exhortation that appears here. So this is it to the rulers among the children of Israel. The rulers of Sodom. That's the description that is given to Jerusalem. It's such a wicked city. They're so much taken up with the sins and the wickedness, and they're described as Sodom. And there's this cry that goes out from God, "Oh, hear the word of the Lord." It's time to tune your ear, not to the sins of the world. It's time to tune your ear to the word of God and what the Lord has to say. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 14. And here's the rulers again. In view, the rulers and the people were in view there in chapter 1 and verse 10. Because it goes on to say, "Give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah." So it's thinking about the nation generally. But here in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 14, you'll find the words, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem." Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men. There are those who were scorning the word. And there's the evidence of what I was saying a moment ago. The natural heart doesn't want to hear the word of God. More likely to scorn it, to dismiss it, to cast it away. But there's a cry that goes out from the Lord through the prophet. "Oh, wherefore hear the word of the Lord." You just look at the previous verse there, if you have it open, Isaiah 28. Look at verse 13. It says, "But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, little, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little." The Lord had taught them his word. The Lord had given them his word. The Lord had sent them the prophets. It was like a teacher teaching a child, just a little bit, often repeated. That's the whole principle of teaching. There's the methodology for how you teach. It's given to you there in verse 13. It's precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. God's way of teaching is a little often repeated. That's God's method for teaching. A little often repeated. And that's important to remember when, and all of us who are teaching the word of God, whether as parents, grandparents, in the work of God, whether it's preaching, whether it's children's meeting, Sunday school, nursing homes, whatever. That's the Lord's principle and how you teach the word of God. A little, often repeated. You keep going over it. Repetition. Repeating the same truth. Yes, there's times you introduce new truth to increase somebody's knowledge, but you keep going over that which they've already heard. And the Lord says, I have done this. This is how I have taught you, he's saying to the people. I've sent the prophets, and this is what you've done, and this is what I have done. Now, he says, hear the word of the Lord. It's time to hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men. And then let's come over into Jeremiah. As I say, we're only highlighting some of these tonight. Jeremiah chapter 7. And here we come to think about the worshippers in the temple. Because Jeremiah is told in verse 2, Jeremiah chapter 7 and verse 2, go and stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in at these gates to worship the Lord. So somebody can be worshiping the Lord. Somebody can have religion. Let's put it like that. Somebody can have religion, but they're not hearing the word of God. And there's plenty of people today in the religion, but they're not hearing the word of God. Maybe even today, there's those who have been in a place of worship, but they're not hearing the word of God. Maybe it's not been preached to them in the first place, but where it is being preached to them, they're not heeding it. When that word tells them to flee to Christ and come to seek the Savior, come to know him as Savior, they're not listening. They might engage in an act of worship. And here, Jeremiah is told, go down to the Lord's house, go down to the gate of it, where the people are entering into worship, and cry out with this message, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah. Now, we've thought there in chapter 22 of Jeremiah, where we've been reading tonight, that Jeremiah was told to go down to the king's house and utter a similar message. But here he's told, first of all, long before we get to chapter 22, he was told in chapter 7, go down to the house of God, stand at the gate there, and those who are going into worship, going through the formality and the ritual and the ceremony of the worship that goes on in what's called the house of God, tell them to hear the word of the Lord. It's far more important to tune your heart to hear the word of God than even to engage in acts of worship. Somebody can have a ritual of worship and go through the ceremonies of worship, even attend a place of worship and never hear the word of God. Never have their ear opened and tuned to hear the word. And the Lord has to send this message, hear the word. Tune your ear to hear his word. Jeremiah 9. You go there a couple of pages in your Bible. Chapter 9, Jeremiah, this time verse 20. And here's another group of individuals that are singled out. They're mentioned a little bit before here as well. Verse 7 speaks about the mourning women. And then verse 20 it says, yet hear the word of the Lord, O ye women, and let your ear receive the word of his mouth, and teach your daughters wailing, and every one her neighbor lamentation. So here the exhortation is given again, this time to these women. Hear the word of the Lord. And then it says, receive the word at his mouth. Receive the word at his mouth. We might be coming back to that statement, because that's the next one that's on the windows here as well. But here's another group of individuals who are exhorted to hear the word. I'll finish off with one more here before we think move on and consider a little more. Jeremiah 31 and verse 10, if you go forward to that portion. And again, we've brought to think about the extent of this as we look at this last text. Jeremiah 31 and verse 10. Hear the word of the Lord, O ye nations, and declare it in the isles afar off, and say, he that scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd doth his flock. So this is to the nations. And if it is in the case in our text, Jeremiah 22:29, O earth, 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 that refers to the land of Israel. Well, here there's no doubt about it in chapter 31 and verse 10. It's to the nations, to the isles that are afar off. The whole world is to be told, hear the word of the Lord. Tune your ear to hear what God has to say. That's more important than anything else. Now, I've drawn to your attention there some of these statements that are found in Isaiah and Jeremiah. But you, we're not going to look up these verses, but I'll prompt your thoughts at least. If you go over into the New Testament now and think about the exhortation that is found there, because there is an exhortation to hear in the New Testament. The language is somewhat different, but the message is still the same. It's not exactly in the same terms as we have it here in the prophets. Hear the word of the Lord. It changes. For example, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. How many times does that phrase not appear in the New Testament? He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. Matthew 11:15, Matthew 13:9, Matthew 13:43, Mark 7:16. In all of those verses you will find something similar to what I have just been saying. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And there's the Lord Jesus. Many occasions he's the speaker of those words. And he's saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Oh, have an ear for his word. And it underscores this point that I'm seeking to make. The ear needs to be tuned to hear the word of God. Because there's the clamor and the din of the world and all the calling of the world that the human natural ear is open to. But it needs to hear the word of the Lord. You think as well of that statement that appears 7 times to the 7 churches in the book of the Revelation, chapters 2 and 3. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. That's the New Testament exhortation to tune your ear to hear the word of God. So there's those words that are particularly found in the Old Testament. And then there's those words that are phrases that is found there in the New Testament. But both of them, as I say, the words may change a little bit. But the message is still the same. Tune your ear to hear his word. Give an ear to what God has to say. And that's the message that has to go out this evening. That's the message that has to go out from the Church of Jesus Christ to the world. Hear the word of God. There's no new message in that sense. There's no redefining and coming up with a new way of working. The message is still the same. Hear the word of the Lord. Because in this book, there is revealed the way of salvation. In this book, God tells us what we need to hear. That we're a lost soul in need of redemption and that he has sent his son to do that redeeming work. And there is an ear that is needed to hear what God has to say. Turn back to chapter 22. There's one final thought here I want you to consider. That this is a necessary exhortation because of the impending destruction that will come if someone does not hear the word of the Lord. It's necessary because of the impending destruction that will come if someone does not hear the word of the Lord. Isn't that what the message is in this chapter? Look particularly at verses 5, 6, and 7 of Jeremiah 22. I've drawn your attention to the opening few words, if you will not hear these words. Well then, let's notice what the Lord says. I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. For thus saith the Lord unto the king's house of Judah, thou art Gilead unto me, and the head of Lebanon, yet surely I will make thee a wilderness, and cities which are not inhabited. And I will prepare destroyers against thee, every one with his weapons, and they shall cut down thy choice cedars, and cast them into the fire. The Lord is warning about impending destruction if you do not hear his word. As clearly stated, there is a consequence for refusing to hear. We're told here of coming destruction that is going to come as a result of people not hearing the word of God. And how the natural heart dislikes that message. I don't know whether you've been following that case of the rugby player in Australia, Israel Folau, who actually was sacked because of what he said about sodomy. But he made he put it up on, I don't know whether it was Instagram or what it was, but he put up a posting there a little while ago about the fires that are rampaging around Australia, and particularly around Sydney, I think it is. There's a lot of forest fires. And he made a connection saying that these fires were the judgment of God upon the nation of Australia because of their sins. And there was an outcry, absolute outcry. I think even the Prime Minister of Australia made some comment upon it. Said that he was most unhappy that such comments were made by Israel Folau. Well, whether that was the case or not, that those things mark the judgment of God or not, it illustrates the point the natural heart doesn't like to be told. There's a consequences for not listening to the word of God. They don't like that message. And people in our land don't like it either to be told there's a consequence. They try to make out, you see, that somehow God is bitter. That God is somebody given to whims and passions. No, God is just and holy. That's why there's a consequence for not listening to his word. He's a God of justice. He's a God of holiness. And he gives warning. He gives warning that people might know. It's not as if he sends judgment without telling people why it's coming. He warns, he forewarns that there is coming judgment so that people may flee from wrath to come. And I want you to notice there in verse 6 that there's nothing that's going to mitigate against this coming destruction. Do you notice what the Lord says? Thou art Gilead unto me and the head of Lebanon. Those are two very treasured places. Bashan was over in Gilead direction. That was the best pasture land to rear animals on. The bulls of Bashan, as you know, is a statement that you find in the Bible. They were the fattest, well looked after, well fed. And what the Lord is saying here, the same with Lebanon, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You see, Israel claimed a special relationship to the Lord. But the Lord says, if you don't hear my word, nothing will mitigate against the coming destruction. Nothing will mitigate against it. There's nothing that will offset it. There's nothing that will deflect it. Judgment comes. Desolation comes. If someone does not hear the word of God. And the Lord gives warning about it. So that men might and women might learn this and flee from wrath to come. But he says, this is what happens when you do not hear my word. You notice there in verse 7 as well that he speaks about a fiery destruction. In verse 7, I will prepare destroyers against thee, every one with his weapons, and they shall cut down thy choice cedars and cast them into the fire. Is there not there a forewarning of eternal destruction, eternal ruin? What is the characteristic of eternal ruin? Is it not fiery destruction? Oh, ruined nation will most certainly follow, refusing to hear the word of God, and it will be a fiery destruction. Fiery destruction. Hell awaits the individual who will not hear the word of God. And whatever other characteristics there may be about individuals who are in a lost hell tonight, there is one thing that characterizes them all. They've refused to hear his word. They've refused to hear his word. And here the Lord is telling them, this is what happens. If you continue, there's going to be a fiery destruction. How much better it would be if those three kings had heard his word. When the Lord sent his prophet Jeremiah down to the king's house earlier in the chapter there, verse 2, if those kings had listened right in earlier reigns, that man Jehoahaz, if that king had listened to his word, what impact that might have had upon even those other kings that followed on after him. But he didn't listen. And then Jehoiakim, he comes along there in the middle part of this chapter. He doesn't listen. And that has a consequences as well. Because then on to the third king, Kaniah, and he's not listening either. And wouldn't it be far better if those three kings had listened to the word of the Lord? How much better it is for any individual if they would hear the word of God. And that's the message tonight that needs to re-echo and reverberate around the whole world. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. You've got to hear the word of the Lord, or else there's a fiery destruction that's coming. And oh, that there would be those who would have an ear to hear the word of God and listen to what the Lord has to say. Listen to what his word has to say. It's not the word of an individual. It's not the word of a denomination. It's not the word of a preacher. It's the word of God. Sinners are called to hear the word of God. And may the Lord indeed tune the ear to hear his word. And that in hearing, your soul might live. Oh, may that be our testimony even tonight, that the Lord has opened our ear and made us to hear. And that in hearing, our souls are alive tonight. May the Lord bless his word to all of our hearts. We're going to bow together in prayer. Our Father, we do pray that we would be those who hear thy word. Oh, give us that hearing ear, we ask of thee, that understanding heart. And we pray that tonight, O Lord, we would hear all of us. There is a word in season to each one of us to be those who hear the word, who have an ear for the word of God. And we know, Lord, that from day to day, from week to week, we hear the clamor of the world. But may we hear the voice of God speaking from his word to our hearts. And may we heed that word. Speak, we pray. Speak on to us all tonight, we pray. And Lord, give us a hearing ear. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.